Hi, Phil. This is Jim Locklear.
How do you do, Jim?
Yeah, I represent your father. I come from the hereafter.
You do?
Yes. Yes, that's what I do. I come from the hereafter. I represent your father.
What do you mean you represent my father?
I mean I speak for him. I come from the same place where he is right now, in the great hereafter, on the astral planes. And he's looking at you and what you've done with your life, and I have to tell you, he's disappointed.
Well, is that a shock or what?
Oh, so you're cynical about this?
No, I'm not cynical. I'm very realistic. That my father would be disappointed in me is no shock.
You know that your father had high hopes for you.
My father had no hopes for me. He didn't know what it was that he hoped for me. I think he hoped that I would do better than he did.
You don't think your father achieved great things?
No, not really. No, I don't.
Well, you used to look up to your father.
I don't anymore. Not anymore, no. I can tell you right now I don't look up to my father at all.
Do you know that most of the men listening to you right now look up to their fathers?
I could give a shit. What do you think of that?
Very typical of you to be angry.
I'm not angry. I'm maybe a little irritated, but I'm not angry like I want to start tearing things off the wall.
I'm here representing your father to tell you he has great disappointment in you.
So what? So if he does, so if he doesn't, what difference does it make? Are you here representing my mother?
No, I would not speak for your mother. I'm speaking now for your father. You know that you blamed your mother for a great deal, but you used to hold your father blameless. In fact, he was your hero. Now, what happened? That's what we're trying to know.
Well, here's what happened. I started thinking more about it. I got older. I started looking at life with, more experienced eyes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you ready for this one, Locklear?
Yes, it's Jim Locklear.
Okay. Did you work with my dad or something?
Why do you ask that?
Because you have the kind of a name of guys that my dad worked with. Anyway, when I finally...
Look, Phil, your sense of humor, your sarcasm, your cynicism will not save you here.
Save me from what, man?
Save you from the judgment of your father and of history.
Slow down there, Jim, because you're starting to, catch yourself a little bit.
I'm telling you that I'm here representing your father in the astral plane, who's looking down at you, your life, and what it's become up to this point. He's exceedingly disappointed.
Well, he can get in line then, okay? Because I'm disappointed in some of the things that I've done, too. I'm not so disappointed in myself that I give up on myself, and I'm certainly not so disappointed in myself that I don't recognize the things that I've been able to achieve.
I'm not saying your father is disappointed in you in the totality of your life. I'm saying that... Certainly he is waiting to see what you do with what is remaining of your life. But up to this point...
He's very disappointed.
Yes, he's very disappointed. And you seem to be taking this in a glib and sarcastic and smart-assic.
You're getting a little nervous there, Jim.
No, there's nothing could be further from the truth. I'm not nervous. I'm trying to find the right words that will penetrate a thick skull like yours.
Look, my father... Yes, you're right. I looked up to my father for a great many years. The older I got, the smarter I got, the more I took a look at what he did with his life, the less I was an admirer of him.
The less you're an admirer... You understand that he was a World War II veteran?
I know all of that bullshit, and I don't care.
Bullshit?
I know it's not bullshit, but I don't care. I don't know what he did in the war, and it doesn't make any goddamn difference to me. I know that my father, as a father...
now we're getting... Your father as a father was what?
He wasn't very good.
Well, there you go. So I come with the reality that your father is looking at you right now expecting you to make more of your life, and what do? You turn it around and you criticize him.
That's right, because I don't give a shit what he thinks. I don't care what he's thinking out there in the great beyond on the astral plane. Jesus Christ, man.
You just belched.
Yeah, I do, and every time I belch, people seem to want to point that out to me.
So you don't care how your father views you. A great many men in this world care how their fathers view them. They look up to their fathers.
Yeah, I know a lot of guys look up to their fathers because a lot of guys buy into the bullshit of what they think their father represented. A lot of guys buy into the bullshit of what they think their daddy did. Okay?
Oh, so now you're mocking people that listen to your show, and you're mocking those men who have a good feeling about their fathers, who, when their fathers pass on, they say, my dad was a great man, and they put pictures over there on the Facebook, and they talk about and they have pictures of him in his army uniform and everything.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people idealize their parents. They think that they think they're bigger than they were. They think they're greater than they were. They think that they taught them so much. Maybe it's true in the case of a lot of people. It wasn't true in my case, okay? It was not true in my case.
Your father didn't teach you anything.
My dad taught me a lot of stuff by his negative example. He taught me how not to be in business. He taught me how not to deal with people. He taught me how not to have the kind of temperament that he had. He taught me how not to conduct my life. He taught me a whole lot.
Didn't your father teach you courage?
He taught me courage. Yeah, he taught me to be courageous because he was such a chicken shit himself.
Wow. So now it comes out.
It's been out, man. Where you been, Jim Locklear? Good God. You do sound like somebody that my dad worked with.
Yes, I was a part of his sales force at Hagendack.
Hagendack? I never heard of that company.
It's a made-up company, but it represents all of those companies that your father worked for, and I represent all those guys that worked for him.
Great. Well, Jim, so you're here to deliver the news that my father was disappointed in me.
Your father is very disappointed in you and wants you to turn your life around before it's too late.
You know, I remember once...
Oh, here we go.
Hey, Jim, you're the guy that landed here from the astral plane, man. Now, listen to me. I remember one time my dad driving me around in some neighborhood that he thought wasn't good enough. And he said, you know, if you don't turn your life around, you're going to wind up living here. Now, it turns out, as I went to high school and beyond, I made very, very good friends with some guys who actually grew up in the neighborhood that my dad said, don't go, don't ruin your life, you'll wind up here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And I used to tell him that.
Big laugh, wasn't it?
It was pretty funny. I used to tell my good friend Rob, I'd say, you know where you live, Rob?
He goes, yeah.
He said, my dad took me on a drive through your neighborhood and said, get your life together, you're going to wind up living here.
Oh, so you insulted your friend.
I didn't insult him. My father insulted him.
Well, you didn't have to tell him.
No, you're right. I didn't have to tell him, but I thought it was pretty funny. But the point that I'm making here is my dad would drive me around and show me these things and say, don't do this and don't do that, or you'll wind up like this. As a matter of fact, he wound up like that. My old man at the end of his life didn't have a pot to throw it out of, as they say.
That's a terrible thing for you to admit here on the live Wi-Fi, on the airwaves and the Wi-Fi waves of America. Oh, my God.
I'm admitting it. I'm letting everybody know.
Wasn't there anything about your father that you loved?
Of course there was. You're the ass that came here from the astral plane trying to dig up all kinds of bullshit about him. Yes, there was a great many things I liked about my father. He took me in. We went to sports together. He had a great sense of humor. It's one of the funniest guys I ever met was my dad. And you know, he got a big kick out of life. He was a big party animal. That was my father. But responsible? No. Integrity? Very little. Character? Even less than that.
Do you think you have integrity and character?
Probably not. But I've done this much. At least I haven't brought a bunch of kids into the world that I couldn't support. At least I haven't brought a bunch of children into this world that I abandoned. At least I didn't do that.
Oh, wow. You're admitting that here on the live, the Wi-Fi?
Yeah, on the live Wi-Fi. Yeah, I am. You know why?
Why?
Because you, Jim Locklear, landed here from the astral plane and got me to talk about it.
Who are you talking to?
What?
Who are you talking to? Phil, you're talking to someone.
Hey, Jim.
I'm not going to say anything. They can't see me. I'm a fictitious being.
So you're invisible?
No. No, I may be a brain tumor you're working on.
Get out of here, Jim.
Phil, you're talking to someone. Who was it?
I was talking to Jim. I was remembering a conversation I had with a guy named Jim Locklear many years ago.
Jim Locklear?
Yeah, some jackass my father knew.
This is Jim Locklear. We'll be right back.
Folks, now's the time to get a backstage pass to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Now's the time to get one before I wind up losing what's left of my mind tonight, on this very evening.
Yes, a backstage pass to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show before he winds up losing what's left of his mind will allow you to access the 55,000-plus hours of radio, digicasts, all the netcasts, videocasts, you name it, we claim it. It's a world-famous Phil Hendry Show with his home movies, the Bobby Dooley podcast, Elcott The Next Step, and more. And me, Bud...
Dickman.
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Get a subscription for a month or for a year at philhendryshow.com. You never had it so good.
Yeah, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. This is Chris Norton for a second night in a row. It's interesting to be with you. And I want to thank Phil Hendry. He said, well, look, if you have some kind of issue that you want to take up with the audience about what you read on the BSPs and More page on Facebook, then now's the time to do that. First of all, I want to thank John Hall, who is the BSPs and More member on the BSPs and More page of Facebook, that he suggests, and I know that Mr. Hendry has, I know Mr. Henry's here too, and I want to thank you, Mr. Hendry, for what you did today, what you did over on Facebook.
Well, I mean, if we can get a, I don't know if we get a GoFundMe going.
Well, whatever. So what, you're not walking that back, are you?
I'm not walking it back. No, I just said, you know, I wonder what interest there is in a GoFundMe to make ghost penis.
I mean, if that's something that you are sincere about, whereby you would help me offset a production cost of producing a script.
Do you have a script?
I do have a script. That is, I am working on it, but...
So you don't have a script?
Okay, now, this is part of my agreement with Bud Dickman was that I would speak with Mr. Henry.
I did agree. Yeah, we did work it out that he'd only speak with Mr. Henry, not you, Ms. Gray.
What is this about, Phil? Look, what does this mean?
I will answer questions from Mr. Henry. If I'm going to sit here and have to field questions from Ms. Gray and from you...
It's going to get a little dicey, so let me just... I'll do this, Chris. What I agreed to...
Wait a minute, Phil. I'm part of this panel.
As am I.
All right, wait. If I'm going to talk to... Do you only want to talk to me?
At this time, yeah.
Do you mind, Margaret?
Right over here, Margaret.
What's that?
It's somebody's Lein and Kugel here.
All right, I'm having a beer.
Have a beer. Great.
Yeah, thank you very much. I didn't mean to, but this is a negotiation that I did negotiate.
Hey, okay. Thanks a lot, Melvin Belli.
Who is Melvin? Who?
Thank you very much. Hold on. Chris.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. What is the agreement? Now, you were happy to... John Hall said what?
John Hall said that that there was a workable name for the film might be Ghostbuster. And I thought, well, you know, there was a film out, as you know, Mr. Aaron's, a film out called Ghostbuster about the three guys that were... They were known as Ghostbuster. You know that?
Ghostbusters.
Yeah, what am I talking to myself over here?
Oh, okay. So Ghostbusters, and he suggested that?
He suggested that because I think... ghost penis is, what's the word? It's not, it's too,
It's too ethereal.
Excuse me. Mr. Norton agreed.
All right.
Hey, Bud, what is it with you all of a sudden, man? You're the referee?
I represent Mr. Norton.
I asked Mr. Dickman to, you know, intercede.
Oh, to intercede. So we're not allowed to say anything.
Why don't you let me just talk to Chris?
Yeah, that is the agreement that I have between, I negotiated it. Everything.
Woo!
Mr. Henry, tell him to shut up.
All right, Margaret, thank you.
All right. Big deal.
I negotiated it with Mr. Hall, I mean with Mr. Norton and with Mr. You.
With Mr. Me.
I mean with you and with Mr. Shaw.
I'm a general.
Okay, with a general.
A general or me? Are you guys done?
Sorry. Sorry, Phil.
Where were we? We're talking about the fact that I'm considering changing the name of the movie, The Ghostbuster.
Because John Hall on the BSP's page suggested it?
Yes, sir. And I feel it's a good thought because it's more, I think, accessible to the average audience member. In other words, if I want this film to be seen by not just... Obviously, it's going to be a lot of women are going to go see it because of the attraction that I got and the sex energy, you know.
Yeah, I know. So you attract a lot of women with your sexual energy.
Yeah. I mean, how many years have we been talking about this, Mr. Ray?
Okay. So you feel if you...
Yeah, let me just intercede here for a moment if I could. Bud, we've heard enough from you.
Hey, Bud, let's talk about it later.
Okay. So you're saying that the film Ghost Penis... as much of the attraction as you hold for women will not be a good title.
I don't think so. I think a lot of women will, even as much as my sex, as much as they are drawn to my sex, they will feel that Ghost Penis is maybe a bridge too far. To go see a movie called Ghost Penis,
what's the name of the movie?
Ghost Penis.
Ghost Penis.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're saying Ghost Penis.
Excuse me.
Wait a minute.
Mr. Renner, I can certainly leave now and walk back, you know, come in later.
No, it's all right. It's just a rare admission from you.
Well, I do have female fans, no question about it. But even with the female fans, what I got, maybe calling the film Ghost Pants as
I have to ask a question.
Excuse me, but
I'm asking a question. Is the movie called Ghost Pants?
I think I'm saying it's called Ghost Penis.
It's called Ghost Penis, Margaret, and you know it is.
I will not be spoken to that way, Phil.
Well, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to just take my admonition here because we're trying to get on with this interview.
Yeah, and again, you may not like it, but I speak on behalf. I'm speaking on behalf of Mr. Norton here.
All right, okay, bud, it's okay. I got it.
No, I don't want these people inter. What's the word you used?
Intercede.
Interceding.
Hey, big word.
You know, I might as well just back out of this thing.
No. We got it.
Ghost penis. You don't want to call it ghost penis. You feel that John Hall's suggestion of Ghostbusters is far better.
I think it is, because I think that the females in the audience are not going to be too put off by it, even though they understand where I'm coming from. And that's one of the great things I think about Chris Norton, and I speak of myself in the third person because I really don't. I'm not egotistical to the point where I think I'm so, you know, badass on account of my sexual power. But I think that, you know, I feel I do respect women. Bottom line, I do respect women as long as they... I respect women...
This is a good point. Do you respect women?
I do respect women.
Okay.
But as long as they, you know, leave... It's a hard thing.
Margaret, no.
Phil?
No.
Ms. Gray, I am speaking for Mr. Norton.
You don't speak... Just everybody be quiet. Go ahead.
I respect women immensely as long as they leave my condo by 6 a.m. I mean, it's hard for me.
Okay, so...
What?
That doesn't sound like you have respect for women.
Yes, I do. I'm just saying I have all the respect in the world for women. I give their respect if they clear out of my place so that when my friends come over, they don't see them.
You have a lot of respect for women as long as they stay out of your...
Not as long as they stay out.
You have a lot of respect for women as long as they leave by 6 a.m.
Yes, and I think that, you know, so that and the fact that I understand that Ghost Pants is probably... a bridge too far with a lot of women. Not that it'd be a bridge too far with me, because they're always going to be attracted to me because of my sex energies. But they, let's put it this way, if the movie's called Ghost Penis, they will stay, they'll hang around trying to talk me out of it till 7 a.m. If I call a Ghostbuster, I can probably kick him out by 6. You see what I'm saying?
And you got a straight face when you say that.
Of course he does. He has no respect for women.
Excuse me. Once again, I have to intercede and speak on behalf...
Look, Dickman, would you shut up?
Everybody clear out.
Oh, come on. Phil,
everyone, take your line and Kugel and get out.
What about me?
You too.
No, I represent Mr. Norton.
I'd rather he stay, Mr. Norton, because he's speaking as my... He is my agent.
He's your... You gotta be putting me on.
I'm just gonna sit here.
I'd rather he stay, Mr. Henry, because he is my spokespeople.
Yeah.
What a load. You'll hear from Frank, Phil.
Okay. So we have Chris Norton with us, and we're talking about renaming his film Ghost Penis. But he's considering renaming it Ghostbusters. Or Ghostbuster?
Yeah, Ghostbusters is a movie that's already been made, but we call it Ghostbuster. And I was thinking more along the line, and again...
Well, if this was something that John Hall and the BSPs and Morpage said.
Yeah, but again, I wouldn't call it Ghostbusters. I'd say Chris Norton's Ghostbuster. Chris Norton and his friend, a Ghostbuster. Something like that. Like, in other words, the invisible penis is like my sidekick.
Is your sidekick...
Yeah, Mr. Henry, you don't have to look at me and go, easy sidekick.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, you're looking at him like he cut one.
This guy's your agent, huh? He's my spokespeople.
He's your spokespeople.
This guy, I've worked for you for many years.
This cat here that I'm talking to, hold on. The guy that I'm talking to,
Mr. Henry, you don't have to point at me with your thumb like I'm not here.
All right, Mr. Norton here says that the ghost penis is actually going to be, it's still a ghost penis, right?
What?
Yeah, no, here, I'll get it, Chris. Yes, of course, it's still the subject of the film is a ghost penis, but the name of the film is is Chris Norton and his sidekick, the Ghostbuster.
And his sidekick...
Fuck this. Go to music. Hey, bud, go to music, everyone, now. Now. World famous Phil Henry Show, gonna be back in just a moment.
What happened? The world famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com is offering you a backstage pass subscription.
The world famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com is offering you a backstage pass subscription for a price. That's right. For 1 month, $9.99. For a year, $74.99. What is it, bud?
I don't know.
It's less than $7 a month, averaged out for the year. Get a subscription now. You'll be happy. Get a subscription now. You'll feel good. You'll feel right Saturday night.
That's what I was trying to say.
Welcome back, Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Thank you to Bud Dickman, to Chris Norton, to Margaret, and... Yeah. No? Later on, General, I'm finishing out the show here. I do have Dr. Ed Elcott on the phone. As you know, Dr. Elcott holds forth on Sundays here at the world-famous Phil Henry Show on our website. And Dr. Elcott is at the Redeemery in Wampaw, New York now. And I guess another...
Tough day, huh, bud? Yeah, Dr. Elcott is in a bathtub. Dr. Elcott, we do have you on. Here, let me do it, Phil.
Bud,
let me do it. Dr. Elcott, we do have you on right now.
Thank you very much, bud. And my apologies again to you, Phil. But it was a rather stressful day, although I must say, while those of us here at Elcott The Next Step don't suffer from, as I pointed out on Twitter just the other day, that we don't suffer from the ego squeal. And I'll be explaining these terms that many of you do, but I do experience some stress from time to time.
Yeah, so Doc, I'd say to Dr. Elcott, it'd be good if he'd take a bath.
And like, could I just jump in?
What?
What?
I'm sorry, Dr. Elcott. What would you like to say?
I'd like to say I'm not taking a bath for any hygienic reason. Bud, you said you'd make that clear.
Yeah, Dr. Elcott's taking a bath for just a relax and just a relax.
Okay, Dr. Ed Elcott joining us. As you know, he's on Sundays here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with Elcott, The Next Step, his Sunday sermon, I guess is what you would call it. What do you call, Dr. Elcott, our Sunday show with you?
Well, I think a sermon might be a little formal, Phil. I think it is it's a discussion. It's me talking to your audience and the intimacy of the one-on-one that I think radio and podcasts do provide. It's a meet and greet, a get to know, something that in another forum might be considered inappropriate, but in Elcott, The Next Step, what we call the glom on, when I attach myself and glom and drape myself over someone, it is for nothing carnal, it is for nothing inappropriate, it is to simply drape myself over top of the individual so that they almost suffocate on how wonderful Elcott, The Next Step can be, by way of a personal note, by how wonderful I can be.
Okay, you just said a lot of stuff there, and I know that you're talking in Elcottian, right?
This is Elcottian, yes.
Okay. So it's a one-on-one where you're talking to the audience about...
Just different aspects of Elcott, The Next Step, history, but again, it's the glom. You understand what I mean by that?
You know, let me see, Mr. Henry, the glom on...
Wait a minute, will you?
Bud, I've got this, don't worry.
All right.
Hey, Bud, why don't you join Margaret and the General having a Leinenkugel?
Well, don't mind if I do, you know.
Could I just ask you, so you have encouraged the young man to go outside and drink a beer that is famous in Wisconsin. I'm laughing a little bit.
Is that wrong, according to Elcott, The Next Step?
It's not wrong. It's unusual. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't encourage the young man to, rather than listen to Dr. Elcott extol the upliftments and the flotations... the glom on can bring you from Elcott, The Next Step. You have decided to send him off to siphon an alcoholic beverage with two people sitting on a curb someplace. I don't know.
No, it's Margaret Gray and General Shaw, and they're not sitting on a curb.
All right, my apologies. Right.
We have Dr. Ed Elcott on the line with us here. And the reason is because you were active on Twitter today, Dr. Elcott, talking about Wink Hinkdom. And what you called, is this a man amplifier?
No. This was, we developed, a man amplifier. And what this does is it takes the essence of you as a man. In Elcott, the next step, we don't just say, you're a man. We say, you're a man. Why do we say it that way? To emphasize the strength and power and independence that a man represents in this world, most assuredly, to a woman. When a woman sees a man, especially in Elcott, the next step, when one of our dog paddlers, that's what we call women who have not yet elevated to a priesterly or overlord state, they are dog paddling in a sea of admiration for what a man can be. And when a man amplifies and floats to overlord status, when he leaves his sex elf status...
Now, sex elf means what?
That means you're insecure in your manhood. I thought you read the... didn't you read the Big Thick One?
No, I have not read the Big Thick One, no.
Okay.
Well, how many people other than people that are into Elcott the Next Step have read the Big Thick One?
I would think, Phil, before you interview me, and you've interviewed me down through the years, by now you've read the Big Thick One. You haven't read the Big Thick One.
I bet you Phil's seen the Big Thick One.
Oh.
Get out of here, General.
Oh, that's the kind of callous crudeness that Elcott the Next Step does not abide. And I would say to you, General, you are a sex elf times four.
I'm a sex elf times...
Jesus.
Dr. Ed Elcott with us. I did not bring you on here to get pissed off.
I'm in a bathtub right now, Phil. Now I have to put hot water on it. I'm sorry, Phil. Forgive me. Yeah!
Look, you hung up with Dr. Elcott.
Yes, I did.
Why?
None of your business. I hung up on him because he did what I don't like people doing, feeling that hot water like they're having an orgasm. Okay? Now, I listened to his sex elf stuff, and I've had enough of you being the intermediary and the manager and the representative of all the people we've had on the show tonight. Do you understand?
Whatever.
World famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. Executive produced by me, Phil Henry, for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One.
I'm Dr. Ed Elcott. I'm no longer in the tub. I have elevated and floated out. I'm drying off out here in the pea patch. And I think that Mr. Henry owes me an apology for dragging me on to his hinky, funky, dicky show. But I'm trying to take a dump. And I want General Shaw to apologize.
I'm not apologizing for diddling.